You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two! I just woke Matt Motika up. Live on television! Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good morning, Matt. I'm sorry that you were not awake from your double coffee here.
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty damn good, but they're trying to price me out, these rat bastards.
These rat bastards. The rat bastards trying to keep them out.
Rent is too damn high.
The rent is too damn high, that's for sure. Corey Parson agrees with that. What's up, Corey?
Yo, you're right about that, Jack. Oh, everything's going good. Feel pretty good this morning, you know what I'm saying? Getting ready for another week to be pushed towards the championship Sunday in the NFL. Get ready for the Super Bowl. Got some good hoops going on this week. Hot stove starting to heat up, so it should be a fun week.
Finally.
Got some golf, too.
Finally, the hot stove's starting to heat up. Some golf.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, how about that?
Did you order your Pittsburgh Pirates Joe Musgrove jersey?
Oh, not yet, but we will. We will. If Scott Angle doesn't somehow get Joe Musgrove in the studio, he's failed.
Yes, no doubt.
He has failed.
You're right.
He has failed, and that's all on Scott. We were talking about Mike Mularkey earlier on in the program and the firing him and Matt LaFleur potentially being interviewed in Tennessee. Another name that you've heard could be interviewing is a guy that you've been begging for getting an interview all offseason. It's your boy. It's Frank Reich.
Yeah, look, why not? Why not give this guy an opportunity? I know, John DeFilippo has been the hot name out of Philly. But you know what? Frank Reich deserves at least an interview.
He does. I agree with that ultimately. He did a nice job. He got a ton of credit for this game plan for the Eagles winning the playoff game. Were you surprised by that one, Corey?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. We leave it at that, please.
Okay.
We were singing. They were singing at the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Fly Eagles, fly.
Fly Eagles, fly.
The coin like that.
Wasn't my
much.
Favorite no, day. No, I've GST.
I'm sure.
I've had better days at the GST.
We all have. For sure. The wings are probably delicious though.
Still, wings were delicious.
There you go. I thought you were gonna say something, and you just didn't.
No, I couldn't. What did I miss? Wings, Eagles.
I don't know. You looked at the camera. You're about to open your mouth, and that was it.
Well, I'll address the Philadelphia. I'll address Eagle Nation later.
Okay, fair enough. Oh, we're talking about some of these old guys, right? Firing Terry Rubisky, firing probably Dick LeBeau. So, I should ask Scott this, but I'm going to ask you this, Corey, because you're the next best thing. What the hell are the Seahawks doing? Hiring Brian Schottenheimer as their offensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr. as their defensive coordinator.
It sounds like they're tanking. It sounds like they're tanking. Like Carroll is putting together a coaching staff to tank so he can get out of there. Mm-hmm. But Carroll's getting out of that joint.
I agree.
Carroll's setting up his escape clause.
I can't wait.
But you tell Scott Carroll getting out of there, he's the vice president. He's the
He said he's on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
He reports to Pete Carroll.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what, that's what he said to us yesterday.
Yeah. Scott reported to Pete Carroll.
I should have asked Scott this when we had him on a while ago. Like, how are you going to defend Brian Schottenheimer and Ken Norton Jr.?
That's horrible.
Like, how do you defend that?
You know, Ken Norton Jr. is almost like Todd Haley, when nobody wants to work with him.
The Raiders defense got better as soon as he got fired. They're like, oh, we like the new guy.
Sean Smith excelled after he left.
Very dumb. We're taking a break. We'll come back. Some baseball with you. Extended edition next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back with you, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is some trippy.
I feel like we should have some glow sticks or something.
I don't know what this is.
It's a little bit, I don't know. It's a little, it sounded high to me. A little something to get us pumped up.
All right.
What are we talking about?
Baseball.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, what do we got?
All right. Avocado diet is starting, Corey.
Yeah, no. Avocado and eggs.
True story. I had some guacamole turkey burger for dinner last night.
Did you feel like Tom Brady?
No.
Afterwards, you didn't feel all healthy.
You didn't have your magical pajamas.
You couldn't play till you. You can't play till you 50.
I probably ate too many chips with the guacamole.
Oh yeah, yeah. For that, Tom, don't do that.
No. Guacamole, I like avocado by itself.
No, it was guacamole. It was guacamole and a turkey burger. That was us being healthy. All right, so since baseball is in particular the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, I don't want to necessarily do a team by team preview quite yet. But the Cardinals released some information yesterday, Matt, that I thought you would kind of find interesting, where you had Mike Matheny kind of give you a lineup, where it was going to start with Dexter Fowler at the top, followed by Tommy Pham, followed by Matt Carpenter. Now, Matt Carpenter was a dude I was super in on last year, and he pretty much gave me what I expected, but it took a while to get there, particularly when he was done hitting three, and now he's kind of right back hitting three. Should I like that as a Matt Carpenter guy?
I think you should. Matt Carpenter's not a guy that's going to run anymore or something like that. And everybody liked Carpenter last year. And the problem was the shoulder, I don't think, was ever fully healthy.
Okay.
That was a major red flag that maybe we all should have been cognizant about. But if you liked him last year, you should be going back in on him this year. His price has plummeted.
Yep.
And last season, his fly ball percentage was circa 43%. Going into last year, and in 2017, it was north of 50%.
51%, yep.
You're looking at, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The hard hit percentage went up like a couple of ticks.
Yep.
And that was like 42%.
Correct.
So if you're looking at those two metrics, you really have to be positive on that. It wasn't like he had this crazy home run to fly ball rate. Look, he pretty much is what he is. I think the average can get better. I think he's more of like a 265, 275 hitter.
Yeah, last season he had like a 30-point dip in his average for last season. So if you were disappointed, that's mainly where your disappointment comes from. But like Matt said, the shoulder probably was an issue. He didn't need to have off-season shoulder surgery, so that's a good thing right there for Mr. Carpenter. But, you know, you want to see that average get back to that 265, 270. The pop was still in the bat, though.
So I think the deal with Matt Carpenter, you talked about the 30-point batting average swing core. I think it's all related to BABIP, right? Like, the dude bat 307 on a BABIP in 2016, plummeted to 274 in 2017. He's a career 321 BABIP guy. There's your difference. It's literally right there. Mm-hmm. I think where Matt Carpenter is drafted completely depends on the type of league that you are in.
Well,
for me, I am in a league that prioritizes OBP over average. Matt Carpenter does the same thing every year in OBP. It's about 380. It was 384 in 2017.
We do need to look at the BABIP as being different going forward, in my opinion, because he's now more of an extreme fly ball hitter as opposed to hitting the ground. He was hitting ground balls at around 40%. Now he's, you know, he's hitting last 2 years, 30%, 27% ground ball rate. So when you get hit more fly balls, your BABIP is probably going to be lower, but the plate discipline improved last year. The walk percentage went up.
The highest walk percentage of his career at 17.5%. The strikeout percentage went up a tick from the year before, but it was actually down from where it was in 2015. I think Corey's right. I think when you draft Matt Carpenter, you know what you're getting. And I always say in any fantasy sport, to be able to draft the guy and know what you're getting is half the battle.
One of the things about fantasy baseball, and you'll hear me say it a lot over the course of the next couple of months. Listen, I'm not trying to get all cute with these prospects and these rookies and stuff like that. I'm not trying to get cute. Give me the back of the baseball card, guys. Give me the guy that you know, turn around the back of the baseball card. That's what they are year after year. It may not be the sexy way to win, but I think it's a good way to go about it.
And another thing
to... You know, I am Tout Wars.
Absolutely. You'd be down in Ronis.
I'm training. Right. Me and Matt are training starting next week. Well, maybe the week after next.
Super Bowl break.
The day after the Super Bowl.
Maybe the day after the Super Bowl we'll start training.
It's when baseball starts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one thing I do want to point out with Carpenter is the chase rate really went down. So, I mean, I don't know. I liked him last year, and I really kind of like him this year more and more. At first couple drafts, maybe I didn't get him, but I'm starting to acquire Matt Carpenter once again. And I think there's a lot of positives here.
I was about to say, it does sound like you are a Matt Carpenter guy. It sounds like you are in on Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, no, I am. And like the more, like I said,
where is he going? You said his stock is plummeting. Where is he going?
I think he's going like around 12th, 13th round. or something like that.
12th, 13th round?
I'll get you the exact up-to-date
really?
ADP in a
I
second.
Was thinking the ADP might be lower than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Wait.
Because when players, when it's a notion out there that he had a bad season.
Yep. Recency bias will get the best of us.
I don't understand this at all, though. Like, we talked about Andrew McCutchen earlier on in the program. Andrew McCutchen, yeah, he'll steal 10 more bases, obviously, but he's the same guy. He's going six rounds earlier.
But I think I trust McCutchen's average to be. Yeah, to me, McCutchen can hit 300.
Okay.
Still, I mean, 280. I'm gonna say 280 to be on the safe side. I'm more of conservative that way.
Right.
I'll say 280 and hope for 300. So you know, expectations are everything, and a lot of people I see get way too aggressive. Matt Carpenter's current ADP since January 1st, over 33 drafts, is, just had it, 184.
Yeah.
I will buy the crap out of that.
Just let me check Fantasy Pros right quick and see what the...
The Dodgers have a heart attack.
Well, look, I'm not the only one that don't like him anymore. Jake's not on that bandwagon anymore.
Might not want to say that out loud. I think they have ADP limits. Let's look at some ADP consensus right here from Fantasy Pros. And we're talking about the first baseman, Mr. Carpenter.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Talking about Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, yeah. Quick correction. Over the last 16 drafts since January 1st, Carpenter's 179.
So. Fine.
Five picks.
That's wasn't that bad last year. For me, in an OBP league, the dude had a 384 OBP, 23 homers, 95 runs scored.
Oh, in an OBP league,
69 RBIs. This is great.
In an OBP league, he definitely gets pushed up. Look, it's just people are going to look at it that it's only, you know, what did he hit, 24 home runs last year?
23
home runs.
Second highest of his career.
240, 23 home runs is pretty much dog crap. To be honest.
But in an OBP league where that number is literally 140 points higher, that 384 OBP, that's got to be among the league leaders, I would think.
Yeah, no, I think the guy could hit, like I said, 265, 275, and 30-plus home runs.
Right. And so among league leaders, Matt Carpenter's 384 was top 20 in baseball in OBP. Top 20 in baseball.
Right here. Guys that go ahead of him, Greg Bird.
What I can tell you about Carpenter is this: the Fantasy Pros does not have their updated ADPs up yet.
Okay.
But he is that in the expert consensus rankings, the people that have submitted rankings already for the upcoming season, he's the 21st ranked first baseman.
The people are abandoning ship.
I am not abandoning ship.
Well, I don't think you should. The Cardinals should be a lot better this year. I mean, Dexter Fowler.
So that's what I wanted to go to next. So Dexter Fowler last year comes over from Chicago, gets off to a very rough start. He was dropped in quite a few leagues, as I saw last year. What are we expected from him in 2018?
I mean, you're looking for double-digit home runs, double-digit steals. The defense, look, if he could ever get the at-bats, that's really been the problem. He rarely gets over 500 at-bats. 2015, he got almost 700 plate appearances, which, you know, for him is fantastic. But you can't bank on that because he's not a guy that stays healthy. So, look, if he could pull 15, 12-ish type of season, defensively, you know, his metrics just totally tanked.
Of course.
I don't think he's a center fielder anymore. And, you know, but if you have him at the top of the lineup, you have Tommy Pham in the two hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Matt Carpenter is going to get a lot of love.
Theoretically, indeed. Now, Dexter Fowler's a guy I'm not in on. Guys are going to be 32 years old. Speed guys do not age well. Mm-hmm. We've seen that with Jacoby Ellsbury here in New York City. So it's clear I want nothing to do with Dexter Fowler, which gets me to the middle guy. I'm back to Tommy Pham again, who, report surfaced yesterday, not only has he been hitting two in front of Matt Carpenter, but he's trying to get faster. The guy's trying to get faster. That's
don't
great.
Don't be always hearing stuff like this time of year. I'm going to steal more bases this year.
It's not just that.
I'm going to hit more ground balls this year. You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. Is it a skill that he possesses? If it's not really something that he's been doing,
he has been doing 25 last year.
His stolen base opportunities and stuff, he was very good. It was about 25 out of 32. I don't own any Tommy Pham shares. I got to get myself like one or two here just to be safe in case this breakout continues on at whatever 29 years old or whatever age he is. I'm not buying it. He needs a 300 hit.
Listen, I'm going to buy Tommy Pham. I don't want that price. We talked about last week. That's too much for me. But I'm interested, man. I'm interested in this guy because he's going to run. And that's a priority now in fantasy baseball. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's a little more baseball to talk about here on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Baseball talk. Getting Matt Modig all excited.
I am excited.
I know. I can tell. Now, we were talking about the Cardinals lineup here, and a name that crossed my mind was Luke Weaver. And everybody remember last year, Corey, like Scott was drooling over himself, over Luke Weaver.
Yeah.
Drafting him, whether he was on the team or not. So it was Matt. These guys, they love themselves as Luke Weaver. Non-nominators draft Luke Weaver, pick up Luke Weaver. Everyone all loved Luke Weaver. I was like, all right, well, whatever. Luke Weaver, I was talking to Florio about this yesterday. They said Luke Weaver and Luis Castillo are this year's James Paxton for a lot of people. Do you agree?
The hype is high. I think they're... I wouldn't say James Paxton because Paxton... I guess Castillo would be more James Paxton because he did it over more innings and stuff like that. Weaver's more of you got a small little sample size of quick snapshot of what he could be. So, yeah, to that, I think the guy, to me, that's more James Paxton is like a Zach Godley is the guy that I put in that one.
Fair. So Luke Weaver, and let's get into him here for a moment. Now, is he guaranteed to be starting with the Cardinals this year?
I believe so. I think, he's going to be one of the guys they are going to rely on. It's his time now to, step forward, make an impact on this team. You have guys like Adam Wainwright, who's been a warrior throughout his career for this team. But, the skill set is...
diminishing.
Yes.
Diminished.
The sun sets for us all.
They also... they also
except for Terry Rubisky.
They also desperately need a pitcher. As I'm looking at their rotation of Carlos Martinez and Michael Wacha and Adam Wainwright and Luke Weaver...
Ain't they supposed to be getting sun back?
Reyes is the thing with Reyes is from what I've heard initially, the thing is the possibility they keep him in like extended spring training for the month of April, pitch him out of the bullpen to begin, and then maybe that second half of the season is where he would get into the. But they have to be. Look, they signed. I always butcher this guy's name, Miles Mikolas.
Right.
They signed him and went over to Korea. He put up some nice numbers. They gave him a 2-year deal. To me, he's nothing more than a back-end guy that you just take a flyer on, like a 6th, 7th type starter. I'm not as excited as other people are, but we'll see. I haven't done my true deep dive on him yet. They do have Flaherty, who's another name that they seem pretty high. But look, Michael Walker needs to stay healthy. He still has skills. The problem is, I don't know if he can take the what's needed to be a starting pitcher in MLB. Taking that ball every fifth day, being able to the duration of a season.
Like I said, I don't know that this rotation is good enough. But Luke Weaver, who so many people are high on here coming in to this year. Last year for St. Louis, went 7-2 on the year. The ERA was 3.88. The FIP and XFIP were much better than that. FIP 3.17. You're an XFIP guy, right? 2.93 XFIP for Luke Weaver.
Look, XFIP to me is more predictive. And you have to have home runs in the equation, especially in this day and age where the home run ball is so prevalent. And Weaver, his last two starts, I believe he got kind of shelled.
Okay.
Which kind
of would have been even better.
Yeah, he gave up, I'm looking here, he gave up 14 runs over his last two starts in 7 2/3 innings. But you have seen, you know, he put up he had two double-digit strikeout games and nine, a couple of sevens in there. The talent is here. One concerning thing is I don't like seeing that he put on like 18 pounds or 20 pounds of right. muscle, especially for a pitcher. I just don't like it.
Yeah, and I get that. Last year, Luke Weaver pitched, I believe, yeah, he pitched a career high in innings last year with 137 of them. It's a pretty big jump from 2016 where he's coming back from an injury, I think. He batted in 2016. It wasn't that big of a jump as I thought. It was about 113, so about a 25 inning jump. That's okay.
He pitched 140 innings last year.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even if you got only 160 out of him in this current landscape, that's fine. I think you can get 175.
Okay.
If he's healthy throughout the whole year, he's a guy that you're going to have to pay for.
What is that? Where is he going?
He is going, from what I've seen, he's gone as high as the sixth round. When we first started drafting, he was going like 10th round. This is back in like around Thanksgiving time. That ship has sailed. You're going to have to pay for him or Castillo. I just want to get the correct one.
How do you think it's going to go?
Since New Year's Day, Luis Castillo is 101 ADP. Luis Castillo, excuse me. And Jared Weaver is 103.
Not Luke Weaver. Jared Weaver's not playing.
Last year, I won a fab bid with Jared Weaver. I was not looking to pick up Jared Weaver. I had too many damn teams.
How much did you put on Jared Weaver?
It was a small bid. I didn't have a lot of money. I put like $7.
That's
it was like $7
right
at first. Yeah. But, you know.
That was me. It was like me drafting David Johnson, the first overall pick. Yeah. Tight end from Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
That was not so good.
That hurts.
It sure does. There you go. So Luke Weaver, 104, 103, whatever. Luis Castillo, 100. So both these guys right around number 100, which is pretty early, which you're spending on them.
Yeah, look, for me, Castillo showed you more last year in the fact that if you add the minor leagues, which does matter. You had the innings in the minors and the majors. It was like 170-ish.
Sure.
And he did develop that changeup when he came up to the major leagues halfway through what he was doing. And it was really damn impressive, I have to say. I know some people will get a little nervous that he pitches at the Great American Small Park, as I like to call. I don't think so. He's going to throw enough ground balls and stuff. He has enough swing and miss to his game. And, you know, like I said, I like Weaver a lot, too, but I think I'm a little more confident on Castillo.
Yeah.
I'm not, I am.
You are more confident on Castillo. Last year, 169 innings pitched for Luis Castillo in Double-A and with the Reds. So he's going to pretty much be able to go the whole way here, unlike Luke Weaver, who I think will probably top out, as we said, at 160, 170 innings. Luis Castillo should pitch the whole way. Interesting. I've heard a lot of talk on Castillo and a lot of talk on Weaver thus far. We'll see how much their value continues to rise. Moving on from the Cardinals here for a moment, Matt mentioned to me before the show started that he's really annoyed by this Howie Kendrick thing. Kendrick signs a $7 million deal with the Washington Nationals. What did you think of that signing?
I mean, not that I'm annoyed. I'm more frightened, I'll say. With Daniel Murphy, the injury, I believe he was either still on crutches 2 weeks ago or still is. This is just telling me that they're concerned. They're getting an insurance policy in there. I took Daniel Murphy in my first NFBC draft. I haven't touched him since. And you're getting him in like the fifth round,
right?
Which is very fair
sure.
for the type of hitter he's been the last 2 years. And if he was healthy, I would pay higher than that and not sweat it. But, you know, look, Murphy's an older guy now, and I hear microfracture. It's always a frightening thing.
I agree with that. You're like, oh, microfracture, I don't want
no parts of microfracture.
Yeah, no.
It's hard.
But look, I think their signing of Kendrick was a very smart move.
Sure.
I mean, Howie Kendrick's never going to like the world on fire.
He's solid, though.
He is. Yeah, he's a competent MLB player and a guy
been around a long time.
one on your bench as well.
You know, Howie Kendrick has been around a long time. I think he was going by a Howard at one time.
He's the Terry Rubisky.
No, he's back to Howie again. 34 years old. 34 years old, yeah. As Howie Kendrick goes to the Nationals. Signing early this morning, late last night, Curtis Granderson signed.
The Grandy Man came.
Going back to the AL East.
One of the classiest athletes of our time.
Going back to the AL East, Corey.
Yeah, the Grandy Man going back to the AL East where you get a little bit of advantage with those ballparks. We've seen him have his ups and downs as a member of the New York Met organization. But you know what Grandy Man is. He give you a little bit of pop every now and then. But I think he has seen his best days also.
Yeah, he goes to Toronto. Is he going to be an everyday player for the Blue Jays, Matt?
No, I think him and Mr. Steve Pierce will be the platoon split there. And I think that's the best way you could possibly use him. Look, I say he's the classiest. I'm not saying he's still good.
Sure.
I'm gonna root for Curtis. Look, I rooted for Curtis Granderson when he was a Yankee. That's how much I think of this man, and I hate those son of a bitches.
At least he admitted it.
Yeah, you know,
Scott does not admit it.
No, why would he hate the Yankees?
Yeah, I don't hate the Yankees. I like that, though.
The HCA, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I like that. That's passionate. That's fans. That's
yeah,
fans.
It is. One last baseball note for you before we move on for the day. Felipe Rivero signs a contract extension. So the same time that the Pirates announced they're trading away Andrew McCutchen, I imagine Josh Harrison will get traded today, but they traded Andrew McCutchen away. They announced that Felipe Rivero signed a contract extension.
You know, I like that. Rivero's the guy that I'm going after yeah. the big three.
Yeah.
I know you can go Corey Knubel as well. He's going a little higher. You can get Rivero at least a round, maybe two later. So, I like what I saw. It is only a half a season. You have concern there. But at some point, at least in the leagues I play in, if I'm playing in something that's an overall or a draft and hold, you have to take closers earlier. Otherwise, I'll speculate in a trade league. I won't be as aggressive.
Yeah, and understandably so. I like Felipe Rivero as well. After some of the bigger names at closer, his job is safe. They signed him to a contract extension. He's young. He had a fantastic year last year. I think there's a lot to like and a lot to trust with Felipe Rivero. And when it comes to closers, all you're looking for is trust, Corey.
Yeah, that's the most important thing right there. If you want to get that guy that can be somebody that you can throw out there every week and not have to worry about him losing his job and not have to be getting blown up. So somebody you can count on for all 27 weeks, and he is that.
Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll move on from the baseball for the day, get back into some football with Corey, Matt. I'm Greg. It's Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You like that one.
Matt trying to get out of a deal with his wife. Let's see how that works. Do you think you'll win that?
I think I will.
Really?
I think I will.
Your wife is amazing.
I'm very persuasive.
But then after that, you'll be like, oh, my birthday is coming up.
No, you make fair points, but, you know, I'm a man of my word.
All right, so we'll see what happens. Let's get back into football, guys. We were going over the Roto Experts mock draft last week, and I wanted to get into round five, because we hadn't gotten to round five yet, Corey. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Get the end of round four first. Two names that we didn't go over as in-depth as I wanted to last week were Brandon Cooks and Devin Funchess, the last two picks over the fourth round. Brandon Cooks went from being a top 12 draft pick for you this year, Corey, to going all the way to the bottom of the fourth round. Is this the right spot for him?
I think you'll see him excuse me, I think you see him push back into the third. It's probably a better place, but you want to see more consistency out of him. Basically, that's the case. I think the narrative going into the season, which I was against, was that it was too many weapons in New England for him to really get that kind of work. That ended up being correct. So I think he's in that third to fourth round range is a good place for Brandon Cooks, especially a healthy Chris Hogan back, Gronk, the whole case. So yeah.
Yeah.
They just don't, they're not going to just target on the one dude.
Okay.
And Brady don't got the arm to open it up like that anymore.
Okay. And then the next player was Devin Funchess. He was taken here with the last pick. What do you think of that one, Matt?
Yeah, look, he's the number one guy there, right? And it's
North Turner,
he likes his number ones, but for me, it's just the fact that the targets were there this year. I don't see them going away. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I don't. Is it the pick I would have taken? I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That's kind of Matt Corey's thoughts on the end of the fourth round. Let's get into the fifth round here now. As the first player off the board was quarterback Russell Wilson, the third quarterback overall, and in fact, the last quarterback that was taken at all in this draft is Russell Wilson, which means Tom Brady did not go in the top six rounds. It was a top six mock. I'm not surprised that Russell Wilson went Corey in the sixth round. I think that's fine value. I am surprised that there's no other quarterback taken the rest of the way.
Yeah, I really I think I would agree with that also. I think you look at the situation, though, I would be hesitant towards going to Russell Wilson next year because I don't know what this offense is going to look like. So I want a discount on Russell Wilson, and that's not a discount.
I think it's a fair, I don't think it's a discount, but I think it's a fair
price. No, I think it's a fair price. I understand what you're saying and stuff, but I think Russell's proven what he can do. And look, if I'm getting him, look, Tom Brady will be in the leagues I play in, at least, in the 6-point passing leagues, he's going to be a top 6-round pick next year.
I play in the 4-point passing leagues. I also think Tom Brady winds up being a top 6-round pick next year.
Not by me.
But you're the ones like, I'm going to be in on quarterbacks now.
Yeah, I'm going to be in on the good ones, like Rodgers.
Tom Brady's not a good quarterback.
And Watson. How'd he finish this season? That man is 40-something years old. He's going to fall off the cliff at any moment now. It's not going to be on my team.
I think they don't trade Jimmy Garoppolo away if they think he falls off the cliff.
Huh?
They probably don't trade Jimmy G away if they think he's going
to
fall
not
off the
cliff. Not unless Tom Brady went to the owner crying.
He probably did.
He said, I want Jimmy G gone and I want more damn avocados.
What the hell is going on in this cafeteria?
Where are my damn avocados? All right. The next two picks, really, really interesting ones here in this draft. In the fifth round, beginning of the fifth round, you had Jordy Nelson and you had Amari Cooper. Now, the Jordy Nelson pick will start there. Pick Jordy Nelson thinking, okay, Aaron Rodgers comes back healthy. That means Jordy Nelson's back in the saddle. It didn't happen the first game that Aaron Rodgers played when he came back from his injury, and the only game that Aaron Rodgers played when he came back from his injury. Jordy Nelson is going to be, I believe, 33 years old. Can the magic return in 2018, Corey?
I think it's going to be tough. I think we still see a Jordy who is more red zone dependent. I think Devontae Adams is clearly top option in that offense now. So I think we see a little more red zone dependent Jordy. Still going to have fantasy value, but I don't think he's going to be consistent.
If he's still a fantasy value and Aaron Rodgers is still there and he's still a part of the red zone offense, should he be taken here in the fifth round?
I get the pick. I probably wouldn't have done it here, though. Look, he's going to be touchdown dependent. That's what it's going to come down to. Another year older. Look, he came back for one game, Rodgers, and Jordy not getting the ball as much. I'm not going to hold that against it in that one game sample size. But going into next year, I'm probably going to take Amari Cooper over him.
Amari Cooper being the next pick. Amari Cooper is going to be what, 25 next year?
24.
24 next year. He's very young.
I got socks older than him.
Him and Sammy Watkins are both be 24 next year, right? Mm-hmm. That's right. Both of these guys had interesting years, I'd say, in 2018. Amari Cooper went from being a guy you're taking the beginning of the second round to now in the fifth round. Are you going back?
Yeah, I'm going back to Amari Cooper.
John Gruden's doing it for you.
Especially if Amari Cooper's doing it for me. Especially if I'm banking on the talent again. But now I'm getting a discount on that talent.
Not it's not a discount. He doesn't deserve to be taken earlier.
No, you're right. He doesn't. Because we can't draft him on his talent. So, yeah. Mm-mm. But still, fifth round, sitting there as a wide receiver 3? Oh, I'm signing up for that.
Yeah, no. I'm signing up for that. I'm signing up for Brandon Cooks where he went in this one. year two with the Patriots. You know, the Patriots offense isn't the easiest one to learn either. You know, a couple of bounces here or there in week one, in the first couple of weeks. The touchdowns, I think, can go back up. Gronkowski being healthy for a full season again for the most part. That's a stretch, in my opinion.
You know, for me, maybe it's because I feel like, how much were you burned by Amari Cooper this year, Corey?
Amari Cooper probably cost me, he probably single-handedly cost me in three leagues.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, it is.
You're still willing to go back.
I'm still buying into that talent. I'm still buying into that pedigree, the whole thing with Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is bred to play football. It's going to hit at some point, and it's going to hit, and it's going to be a top five fantasy wide receiver.
I don't know,
for
man.
Years.
For years?
Yeah, if they get it right.
You think this light's just going to turn on, he's going to be a dominant wide receiver?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if I could buy it, man.
You don't have to buy it.
I don't know about
that. I think there's too much talent as well.
I get it. I get that. But he was so bad this year.
He was terrible this year. But that's one season. That one season that 22, 23 years old can't define
him. The offensive
him.
Coordinator was tough. It was a... just everything went wrong.
The final line,
I don't make excuses.
The final line for Amari Cooper, he caught less than 50 passes, which is crazy.
It was bad.
48... it was bad. These numbers aren't as bad. 48 catches, which is brutal. 6, 80, and 7.
There's no more. There's no more Crabtree.
No more. Potentially no more Crabtree. No more Todd Downing. It's all about John Gruden now. It's all about John Gruden.
Yeah, that's what John Gruden is brought in here to do. So let's give him an opportunity. Let's see what he's about. Listen, he's getting paid the big bucks to do it. He's ready to go. You look at the talent. You look at the quarterback. You look at the wide receivers. See how they put it together. So John Gruden, listen, they're locking into this dude for 10 years. So this is going to be this is 10 years of Amari Cooper. Yeah, this is a long-term situation right here.
All right. The offensive coordinator is Greg Olsen, who was the quarterback's coach for Derek Carr his rookie year. I'm never really impressed by Greg Olsen offenses. They're usually pretty terrible. But, I don't know. At least some familiarity back together.
It is.
Some familiarity back together for Derek Carr and the Raiders. After Amari Cooper, you had a major run on wide receivers. You had like 30 wide receivers going in a row here, if you look. Golden Tate was next to Dane. I liked Golden Tate. I thought that was a good pick here in the fifth round.
I mean, inconsistency was a problem this year, but look at the final numbers. I'm quite sure it was 90 catches.
As it always is.
Yeah, you got always Golden is. Tate there.
Would you rather have Golden Tate or Amari Cooper? Anybody?
Amari Cooper.
At that point, I'm probably going to have enough receptions. I'll go for the upset of Amari Cooper.
I'll take Golden Tate. 92 catches. Over 90 again.
That's fair.
Over 1,000 there. And five touchdowns.
If I took an upside guy earlier, say I was just in love with him, I would take the floor of a Golden Tate.
Okay. So you'll take that, and that makes sense.
I mean, it's roster construction. I mean, yeah. There are things we're going to say, but it's how you set up your team.
Right. Of course. Okay. After Golden Tate went Demaryius Thomas to Jake. Not really interested in Demaryius Thomas.
Nah, situation could be different with the quarterback, so that's
interesting. Yeah, that's something you have to monitor.
Of course, obviously so. After that, I took the other Lions wide receiver. I took Marvin Jones. We were wrong about this year, Corey. I took Marvin Jones as my fourth wide receiver in the fifth round. What do you think?
Nah, Marvin Jones is getting it done. Marvin Jones got it done this year. Marvin Jones is the player that I'm going to be in on next year. If I can get him at the right, I don't want to pay the... That price, I don't want to pay that price for him.
That's the problem. You're going to be paying a high price. That's the problem for me.
He's our wide receiver 4.
No, that's good for you.
Sure.
But I want him. I don't want to buy him in the 5th. I want to buy him more in the 7th. I don't think he's going to be there.
Okay. So you're
out. Might be better in the auction.
Okay. So there you go with Marvin Jones. After I took Marvin Jones, George Kurtz selected Dez Bryant, Corey. Dez Bryant goes from beginning the second to now the middle of the 5th round. That sounds about right. What do you think?
Yeah, it does sound about right. And it's also, like I said, obviously these things are going to change. It'll be an excellent buying opportunity for him in that spot. He's got to refocus. That offense needs another piece to it. So we're going to see how they put that together. And Dez Bryant is a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 going into a season is excellent.
Yeah, like I said, Dez Bryant's not a guy I'm targeting. I'm waiting for him at my price and... at the right price, why not? He's still going to be a red zone threat. You hope that Dak recovers from that dismal finish of a season, but you should have a full year of Zeke, and the Cowboys need to bring in another wide receiver. I mean,
desperately.
They can get them either through the draft or like a veteran, like he's going to be 25, but you put in a Sammy Watkins on that team. With Dez, I think that greatly improves that offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of young wide receivers, the Kings selected Juju Smith-Schuster with his next pick. We knew Juju would get picked early. He goes in the fifth round. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I really like Juju. This kid's what? Just turned 21 years old. Mm-hmm. He seems to me to be one of the emerging wide receivers. So at this price, I'm willing to take it.
You want to take Juju in the fifth? Are you, Corey Parson, fantasy executive?
It's a good chance I'll take Juju in the fifth. I want to see what the situation is with Todd Haley, though.
Would you rather have Juju Smith-Schuster or Will Fuller with Watson?
Smith-Schuster. Okay. Smith-Schuster more of complete player than Fuller is.
The next two wide receivers, Robbie Anderson and Cooper Kupp, both go here in the fifth round.
Hey, I would go Kupp over Anderson.
All right, fair enough.
I like Kupp.
I'll go Robbie Anderson here. If they have a good quarterback.
All right, fair enough. Take a break. More on the Roto Experts coming your way right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
I want to wrap up the fifth round of the draft here. We move on to coaching stuff and the NBA story that everyone's talking about. We're going to start hour number three with that. But the end of the fifth round, so Robbie Anderson and Cooper Kupp go like I said. And I guess as third wide receivers, Matt, having a Cooper Kupp, having Robbie Anderson's okay.
I mean, I really like Cooper Kupp. Scott was correct on his preseason prediction. Maybe not as high, you know, he didn't reach those levels, but he was a damn good receiver. I expect him in the PPR only to get better next year. But Robbie Anderson, to me, is he's shown us the kind of player that he is. The question is, who's going to be under center for the Jets next year? That's the only hesitation I have on Robbie Anderson.
You're Mr. Robbie Anderson. Are you going back to the well?
Yeah, I go back to the well of Robbie Anderson. You definitely want to see what the quarterback is, but you like the talent. You like the heart that he fought with. He was an excellent player throughout the bye weeks. I don't want to pay a high price for him, though, on draft day, unless they got Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback.
What about this price?
Too high.
Too high.
If he's my wide receiver three, I'm feeling good.
I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. That worries
me. I mean, that's going to be the one hesitation. But even if we go back to last season, who was it, Bryce Petty? Or who's the guy that came in for the Jets?
Hackenberg, whatever?
No, not Hackenberg. Hackenberg never sort of field that.
Thank God.
That second round. But after, what's his name, went down? After McCown went down, whoever was quarterback in the Jets, I forget, excuse me for that. Back in the previous year, he threw the ball to Robbie Anderson. So Robbie Anderson's shown that in a small sample size, that quarterback may not be it might not matter to an extent.
I can't take that gamble.
What are the next pick? What about Cooper Kupp?
Love Cooper Kupp.
Would you rather have him than Robbie Anderson?
I'd rather have Cooper Kupp. I love Cooper Kupp.
I'd say Cooper Kupp, as of today, is a more secure, a more safer. And if Sammy Watkins does leave, I think his shares just his receptions only increase. Not that Sammy was getting targeted that much anyway, but
okay, fair enough. This round ended, the last two picks we'll talk about on today's show, with Alex Collins and with Deion Lewis. Two really interesting names. You went with Deion Lewis here, Matt. Alex Collins with Tony Cincata. Now, Alex Collins obviously was rolling throughout the year here, Corey. If things don't change in Baltimore, they probably have the opportunity to do it again.
Yeah, he'll have the opportunity to do it again, but Kenneth Dixon will be back at some point next year. And I know they do like Kenneth Dixon. It's going to be interesting how that plays out. But you want to read the tea leaves. You want to see what happens in the draft and free agency and get a little bit more. If they go in here with Collins as a possible lead dog, I love Collins in that spot. Love him in that spot.
Yeah, I was hoping to get Collins and Lewis here. Deion Lewis was one of the best backs this season when given the opportunity. Just look at all the metrics you want as far as it goes with football. He produced the yards per carry. He can catch the ball. He really wasn't using the pass catching And he's shown when given the red zone opportunity, the goal line opportunity, he can punch it in as well. I mean, Rex Burkhead, to me, and I love him, and I've been probably the biggest Rex Burkhead guy out there. But can Rex Burkhead even stay healthy?
Sure.
That's an issue.
And that goes to the Deion Lewis pick. I don't know that Deion Lewis is back in New England. I could easily see them getting everything they possibly can out of him this year and then being like, all right, we're good.
I can see that happening, too.
That's why I can't pull a trigger on Deion Lewis. Now, of course, so much changes. It's January. I get that. We'll do this again, I'm sure, in March once free agency hits. But I'm not doing the Deion Lewis thing right now. Just because, as we talked about with David Gonos' article earlier on when we talked to Scotty, you don't draft the New England running back that early because who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows, but you do want a part. You do want, if a New England Patriot running back is going to be the guy, you kind of do want him, though.
If I knew for sure, absolutely.
And from like week six on, Deion Lewis was the guy to own.
Definitely. Definitely.
Even with Burkhead in there, they were both ownable players, both startable players.
Definitely. But let's see what happens, of course, in 2018. Take a break. We're going to come back. Back to the NFL coaching changes. A lot of NBA to get to. 2 hours down. One more to go. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.